All right, everybody, good morning on this Thursday morning. We are doing Holy Week this week. Today is Thursday, so we're on day number, five, really, if you include Sunday, because Pastor really kicked it off on Sunday. But today, we're going to talk about something very significant that probably everybody that listens to this can be relatable to, is Mary. You know, what was it like for Mary being the mother of Jesus this week? You know, we know that this is not the actual time that Jesus was crucified. Like, we don't know the actual time or the birth. But, you know, we choose this time of year in the springtime to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thus, we call it, according to our tradition here in the United States, Easter. We do know that they have perverted it, just like they did Christmas. But nonetheless, it is still the holiday to recognize the resurrection of Jesus. So this is what we're celebrating this week. As we are preparing for Sunday, and just to remind everybody about tomorrow, we are having the final one this week. We'll be on YouTube in the morning at 7:30, so I will see you over there then. But, and also, each day we have tackled a different aspect of Jesus and what happened with his life and what it meant for him to give his life, and what does it mean for the resurrection. So let's just kind of recap what we've talked about this week so far. Okay, Sunday, Pastor talked about the spirit of confusion and the result of Judas, the kiss of betrayal. Okay, that all has to do with the resurrection and what happened to bring this on. That was kind of the beginning. And then the next topic we talked about was Jesus in the garden, Jesus in prayer, Jesus with the battle with Lucifer, and the time that he spent in the garden talking to God about his assignment. Then the next thing we talked about was Jesus, the high priest. We talked about his role as changing the veil, you know, and taking the tabernacle from the outside to the inside. What an epic moment it was when he was crucified. So that is Jesus, the high priest, who to this day is still interceding on our behalf. And then yesterday we talked about the sufferings aspect of Jesus and who he is and what he did on his way to the resurrection, and then on his way to the cross, and various different aspects of the sufferings. But today we are going to talk about the price of being Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started. And we are going to do the news this morning after I finish. The president did finally do the prayer meeting, so we're going to go through that and look at that this morning. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together this morning. And Lord, we thank you that your word gives us a little glimpse of what it was like for Jesus's mother. What was it like to carry a son and to give him back to you, Lord? We think about Samuel's mother, you know, back when she went to the temple and she gave Samuel to you, God. Kind of the same thing. You know, Mary had to give you to him. She knew that he was not hers, that he was yours, Lord. And so we just thank you and give you praise. And we pray that today that you would get all the glory for this, Lord, and that you would use my tongue today and let your anointing be upon this. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I'm going to start this off this morning with a song that everybody knows, I'm sure, and I'm not going to be able to have this on the recording, so I'm going to stop the recording just to play this song. But it's Mary, Did You Know? So let's... Don't tell me I've been doing this whole thing and did not record it. What a farce on an everlasting stick. Well, to everybody that's out there and missed all that, I apologize. I do apologize. What the world? I will post the article. How's this? All I did was read this one article to them. So what I will do is just post that article in there. So I do apologize about that. My bad, for real. Okay, now one final thing that I would like to bring up about Mary is how we can take parenting lessons from Mary. We've discovered what? That she's a brave woman, that she honors God above all. This is good lessons for us as women, you know. And how she has given her son to the Lord and honored the Lord with what he wanted to do with that boy, right? So let's look at this. Mary trusted God's plan. Mary's response to the angel's stunning announcement shows remarkable trust. The announcement's consequences means that she was an outcast. Nobody believed her. Even her fiancé questioned her purity until an angel spoke in his dreams. Had Joseph wanted to, he could have had her stoned, but yet she obeyed and risked death. No doubt her neighbors thought her to be promiscuous. No doubt she heard whispers as she passed by. The reward of being the mother of the Savior did not come without a price. And isn't this what her son Jesus did as well? He was obedient even to the death. Parenting requires times when we must allow for his will, even when God's plans seem impossible or inconvenient. Mary accepted God's will for her life, and it brought her shame, grief, and much later, respect. But the benefit of being the mother of God wasn't fully realized until after her son's seemingly premature and unthinkable death. Yet, she accepted God's will and all that came with it. What about Mary treasuring God's leading? Sometimes the Holy Spirit will show us things to come as parents. When God does, it's best to do as Mary did and hide those things in our heart until the moment is right. In the meantime, we pray and ponder what we feel God has revealed to us in regards to our children. This knowing brings hope when the future seems hopeless, and we hold fast to our confession of faith, knowing what God has promised. God is faithful to perform. I want to give a little example of that about the leading of God when it comes to our children. You know, I've told you guys the story before about how, you know, God would tell me things about my children. And one time when I was in Florida, see, God had called Brock and told him to quit football when he was 15 years old. But Brock didn't want to do it because he was the captain of the football team already. He was a sophomore in high school and he was, you know, already had scouts looking at him and everything. So it was very strange for God to ask that of him at that time. So he really had this battle because the school was shaming him big time, telling him he's too young to make a decision like that and yada, yada. So I go down to Florida and I'm down there helping my cousin and the Lord talks to me and the Lord said, when you go back to Tennessee, Brock is going to run up to you and say, Mama, Mama. And he showed me exactly what Brock's going to say. He said, but I want you to reply to your son and I want you to say this. So I get back to Tennessee, and sure enough, here he comes. Mama, mama, and starts off with everything God had told me in the prayer closet. So I told him, I said, son, thus saith the Lord. And then I told him what God said. And so basically, he came up to me saying he was back on the football team. He was happy about it. You know, they're going to go to state, yada, yada. And I told him, thus saith the Lord, you're not either. You are called to not be on that team anymore. And so he was like, Mama, I need to go pray at the church. I need 3 hours. I can't quit. I said, all right. So I took him to the church for 3 hours and I picked him up. When he got in the car, he looked like a different kid. He was very humbled and very, very sorrowful. And he said, Mama, I see what you're saying now. The Lord told me. He said, I knew I had to spend time with him to tell me. He said, Mama, I'm so scared. The persecution is so bad, you just can't believe it, you know. So I held his hand and we prayed as mother and son. But see, that's because he had a praying mother. And I heard from God when I was in Florida, you know. And then when I come back, we dealt with that old devil that was trying to take his destiny away from him, you see. So it's very important that, you know, we hear God about our children. Okay, so let's continue here. In the meantime, we pray and ponder about what we feel God has revealed to us in regards to our children. Okay, now Mary believed in miracles. Mary believed that her son was capable of the miraculous. This is seen in the story of the wedding at Cana. This is the first record of a miracle performed by Jesus. And yet Mary has a quiet confidence that Jesus will do what she's asked him to do. In the same way, he needs to draw on the anointing that God has placed upon our children, showing them the confidence that we have in the gifts and talents that God has given them. Yet even Mary was not the perfect parent. In Mark 3, we see Jesus' family coming to Jesus because they thought he must be out of his mind. Even the best of us will mess up sometimes. There is forgiveness from God, so confess your shortcomings and ask for forgiveness. Mary grieved over Jesus. Mary was there on Jesus' worst day. She suffered with him. It would have been easy to look away, but instead she followed him to watch a mother's worst nightmare. It must have been a temptation to wonder if there had been a mistake. It must have looked like all of her pain and scorn was in vain, and that her son's life had been cut short. She could have questioned God. Why? Even worse, she could have questioned whether or not she heard God's direction in her life in the first place. Sometimes, something unexpected happens in the life of our family. Perhaps a child goes astray. Or makes a decision you feel is not in their best interest. Maybe there is a medical emergency or accident and all of the hopes and dreams you had seems to be in jeopardy. We want to cry out, why? Even worse, we want to wonder if we ever understood God's direction for that family member. It is not recorded that Mary questioned, only that she wept. She watched the death not only of her son, but of the hopes and dreams of his followers. Only the father understood what was necessary in the midst of the unthinkable. Yet Mary was there in the middle of his turmoil. We can be there for our children in the middle of their turmoil too. We can trust that God will turn any situation we face for his good. Romans 8:28. And the final thought today, Mary persisted in ministry. Mary continued on with the work and community of Jesus after his departure. She was faithful to the vision that God cast before her. Yeah, let's think about that. You know, in the beginning when he said, you will bear God, you know, you will have God. She had no idea, you know, that it was going to entail all the things it did, much less in the end to see his torture taking place had to be, you know, just horrible. Okay, even after her heart had been broken by the horrific death of her son, she continued on in faith to follow after his teachings and footsteps. She did not allow herself to become overwhelmed with questions and bitterness. She did not let her hopes and dreams die just because it seemed like the end of all that God had planned. She allowed God to work his plan, his way, and embraced a new way of believing. Our children don't always go about doing things the way that we had hoped or planned, but our trust needs to be in God and his plans and ways for the lives of our children. The followers of Jesus were caught off guard at his death. It wasn't until later that they could see the plan clearly. They didn't get stuck in despair believing that all hope was lost. They had faith in the midst of a crisis, and that is what all of us are doing today. In this crisis that we are in this end time scenario, we all still have faith, don't we? During this season, let's take a moment to think about Mary and what she can teach us about parenting. She embraced God's will for her life, even though it was embarrassing and inconvenient. She kept quiet about what God had revealed to her about her son, allowing the promise to be revealed in God's time. Mary believed in the gifts that God gave her child, and at the right time, she pressed into the anointing God placed upon him. She stood beside him on his worst day, never leaving his side. Finally, she did not allow his death to make her bitter, but instead carried on in faith and helped to spread those beliefs all over the world. Now that is Mary. So I hope that this encouraged you guys today. When we all sit down and we think about Mary and the price that it was for her to be Mary, giving her son back to God when he was 12 years old, watching him go through the persecution and the torture and all the things that he went through, and then all of the other jealousy probably from his brothers, and the public opinions of your son, how he should do everything. I mean, you can only imagine what she went through. But then to watch him die. Now, that's one thing about that movie, The Passion of the Christ, that I thought was really well executed was Mary. You know, I thought they did really good at revealing how she felt. You know, they even showed us like the bags under her eyes and how you can see her body wearing out as she's watching her son be tortured, you know, and the way that she would reach out to him when he was being hurt, you know, and would want to hold him even though he was 33 years old. I mean, I like when he fell over and she went and grabbed him and stuff like that. Just very good depiction, I think, you know, of the relationship between a mother and a son. And a lot of you probably have sons and, you know, you can relate to Mary and those type of things. So I hope this really encouraged you today. I'm going to stop the recording and then we'll open up the prayer lines. And then I do want to remind everybody that tomorrow we will be on YouTube at 7:30 in the morning.
Okay. I had
Can you get louder?
Oh, okay. I'm right next to my phone. Can you hear me now?
No, not really.
Well, I have my earphones on. Let me take my earphones off.
Can you hear me?
Wow, that is great right there.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, go ahead. Now, what she's doing, guys, is she is telling a dream that she had before about ships. All right, go ahead, sis.
Yes. I had this dream when Katrina hit New Orleans.
The night that Katrina hit New Orleans, I woke up to this dream like a vision dream. It's a very vivid dream. And I was with my husband in the car. We looked like we were up north somewhere where the houses were high. You had to kind of go up a stairway to get to the house, the porch. Well, anyway, we were there. I waited in the car for him, and he went up to the door of the house. And while he was going up, I was in the car, and all of a sudden, I started seeing things floating in slow motion in the air, and it looked like nothing but house articles, you know, pants, shoes, like if there was a storm up ahead. And that's what I thought in my dream. Well, there must be a storm. All these things were just floating in the air. And then a rainbow flashed in front of the windshield window. And all of a sudden, I am getting on the ship. I'm the last one. And when I get on the ship, it was like a pack of sardines. It was thousands of people. And we were just jam packed. And it was a huge ship. And so I just remember I was the last one they let on. There was nobody else behind me. And then all of a sudden, we're in the middle of the ocean. And the ocean is just real serene, no waves, no. I just heard a little plip, like a water flip, like if it was a fish that jumped in the water. And then all of a sudden, I look at the people, and they're all looking up. And I look up, and as I'm looking up with them, we see the clouds. Dancing in the, they were just dancing around in the sky, and then they started braiding a door. They came together and started making a braid, and then they made a door in the heavens right there in front of us. And then this glorious light started coming out of that door, and it was just coming and coming and coming towards us. And there was Jesus, the image of Jesus standing right there at the door.
Wow.
And yes, and it was just so glorious to see his image right there at the door. And that's when my dream stopped. That's when it stopped.
And this was after y'all was already on the ships.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Uh-huh. My husband wasn't with me. It was just me.
Oh, no.
I was with him at the beginning of the dream.
Yeah.
But it was like separated because of maybe the weather. That, like I said, it was looked like a storm coming. But it was just me that I got on that ship by myself. And that's why I tell you that was when Katrina hit. And I ever since then, I tell Jesus, well, you know, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you all the time. I tell him that.
Aww.
Yes. Well, you know, I saw him as a waitress when he came into the restaurant. And ever since then, that just changed me. I was not a believer. I was Catholic then for many years. But
yeah,
I know now that. He has been calling me, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I've seen him. I've heard him speak to me. You know, things like that, supernatural things. People don't believe me, but it's okay, you know. But yes, that was a dream. One of the supernatural dreams that I had of my Savior. Coming in the clouds, like he says in the Bible.
Well, the reason I wanted her to share this dream before I stopped this recording is because we just realized, or just showed on the news the other day about how Trump is buying a bunch of ships and he is sending these people over, American citizens into foreign countries to go to these torture prisons. You just can't make this stuff up. So according to your dream, you was on a ship being delivered somewhere and then Jesus appeared. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes, it would. He came to our rescue.
Yeah.
Yes. It's something I cannot forget. You know?
Yeah.
I dream a lot. And I forget a lot of my dreams. But this one, I remember it entirely.
Aww.
Entirely. From the beginning to the end. So it was meant for me to remember, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing with me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop the recording here.